peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
You know, Christmas is a depressing time for most people without Jesus. There was an article written by the director of the California Department of Mental Hygiene, states, the Christmas season is marked by greater emotional stress and more acts of violence than any other time of the year, unquote. Christmas may be an excuse for folks to get drunk, have parties, leave work early, get out of school, spend a lot of money that you don't have. But for the church, Christmas is an opportunity for us to exalt Jesus Christ, as Pastor Poncho will be exploring on today's program of On the Level, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Today's program of On the Level, here's Poncho.
Well, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and I believe you have a handout. If you don't, how many do not have a handout? You don't have a handout? Everybody has a handout. The handout is something that we've been doing for the last 27 years. Every Wednesday night we would have a handout because most of the people, they were coming to our Bible studies, for the most part, had never read the Bible. They have only been Christians for around 6 months, 3 months. So they were getting grounded and rooted. They really didn't know. And so the handout was some way to guide them, to get them grounded. What is the focus of what we're teaching tonight? For some of you, you perhaps have never read the book of Luke, specifically the nativity narratives. And so the nativity narratives begin, obviously, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so there are several hymns. They are recorded. They're hymns. I call them rap songs because they're impromptu. And we have what we call here Mary's song, the Virgin Mary. And it's called the Magnificat. Because when you look at the Latin Bible called the Latin Vulgate, when you look at scriptures, for example, there in chapter 1, verse 46, it says, my soul magnifies the Lord. There in the Latin, it says, you know, something with the Magnificat in the Latin. So it's called the Magnificat. And then also Zechariah in verse 67 is called the Benedictus, because if you say, how do you say blessed in Spanish? Bendicido. So Benedictus is a Latin word. It is the first word that comes out of verse 68, blessed or bendito, blessed, Benedictus. And so those are hymns. And a lot of people just gloss over them and they don't realize what is the impact of Mary. What is she saying? And also very dramatic here, and I don't want to ruffle feathers because this is Christmas. But here is a radical statement that Mary makes in verse 46. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my what? Mary needed a Savior? Wait a minute. A Savior came to save us from our sins. That's our Savior. And so here we have the mother of Jesus in her own words. He is my Savior. So what does that mean to us? At face value, she is also worshiping the Lord. Just the fact that she is surprised that an angel comes and makes the announcement, she doesn't know what channel she's on. She doesn't even know. She says, what is this? You're going to have a child. And she responded, there's no way. I know that I'm not going to have a child. Why? Duh, I'm not married. I'm not even hooking up. I've not slept with any men. I'm a virgin. and thus fulfilling what Isaiah said, a virgin should bring forth a son. That's radical. That goes against nature. You cannot have a child and remain a virgin. And yet she was a virgin. Now the question is, did she remain a virgin? And that's where our religion of our culture, our biological religion, our historical religion says perpetual virginity. So I just want to give you a heads up. I'm not going to talk about that, but I just want to let you know that here she's straight up. But let us pick it up. We are told that, is that mine? That's not mine. We are told that after the angel Gabriel there in verse 36 and 37, and in 38, Mary said to the angel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel, we know the angel is Gabriel, he departed from her. Now, the angel appeared to Mary 6 months after the angel appeared to this elderly couple by the name of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth now is 6 months pregnant. And an angel Gabriel comes to this young girl there in Nazareth and makes the announcement. Radical. And in verse 37, we saw that scripture last week, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And we spoke about the personal applications. The personal applications, and I want to go over those applications here tonight. Because we need to get something out this personal, because we don't want to just read another Christmas narrative, another story. We have to grab the gospel. We have to grab the word of God and say, okay, what does it mean to me on December 6, 2017? What does this mean to me? What does this mean to my marriage? What does it mean to my life? What does it mean to my trajectory, my future? What does this mean in my relationships? What does it mean when I'm sick? What does it mean when I'm going through a divorce? What does this mean to me? Oh, it's just a Christmas story. No, it's not. It is a promise of God to heal you, to hear you. And this is some of the application that I put down on my own, that God fulfills his promises. When God makes you a promise, he will fulfill it in his own time. Remember the angel said, "Behold, Zacharias, the Lord has heard your prayer. You want to have a child." And he's around 70 years old. "Oh, no, that's a long time ago, man. That's a long time ago." "Hey, he heard your prayer. You have a child." And the child came and the promises were given. And so, secondly, God hears our prayers and God answers prayers. And then you see here also, I want you to understand, these people, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, the baby inside Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and of course, Jesus, of course. The Bible says they all had been anointed and the Spirit of God came upon them. So we see the operation, the office, the agency, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Very important. So you see it here in operation, "For with God nothing's impossible." And then we hear this, the remission of sins. The word remission is now becoming an oncological statement. You want to hear that. When you have cancer, you want to hear your oncologist say that magic word, "You're under remission." What does remission mean? It means abatement. Abatement. What's abatement? Everything stops. The progress stops. So we're doomed to hell. We're going in a handbasket to hell. And Jesus comes in and stops us. Abatement. And holds us from going into damnation, the remission of our sins or the forgiveness of our sins. The Bible says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The National Geographic magazine, the latest one in December, has an antique picture of Jesus. If you didn't know the Bible, that article, the whole article in National Geographic, it's dumb. It is sad. Some of the comments and what some of the scientists say and scholars, there's the word scholars, they are so messed up. Very simple here. There's no mincing of words. "You should call his name Jesus, And you shall call his name Emmanuel, means God with us. He shall save his people from their sins. He is a savior. He is a redeemer. He comes from the loins of King David, just as the promises he gave to his father Abraham. That the promises he gave to the prophets, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those promises, according to his mercy, have been fulfilled in our time. There's nothing difficult to understand that. But I go back to Romans chapter 1. Thinking they became wise, they became fools. Too much knowledge. And some of the things that talk about Jesus, they said that he never existed, that it was a figment of the imagination to bring a social reform. The last part is true. Jesus brought a social revolution. Yes, that's true. But that was a cause of the effect. And what is the effect? That Jesus came into our lives and gave us the truth, and the truth set us free. And what is the effect of that? He set us free. We're no longer bound by ignorance or stupidity. We are no longer bound by what the government says. We are no longer bound by what Satan says. We are no longer bound by what the flesh says. We are no longer bound what any principal or any counselor from your high school tells you, that you're not going to amount to nothing. That was me. Mr. Moore. You're not going to amount to nothing, Mr. Juarez. You're good with your hands. That's why I'm giving you a upholstery shop, car shop, metal shop, and wood shop. Because you don't think. You're a laborer. You're going to end up in jail. And I stood there and I said, okay. And I believed him. After all, he has a tie. I believed him. The truth sets you free, and nothing and no one can stop you. Mary, she just said, listen, verse 38, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She submitted. She submitted herself. So now we travel, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Now where is Mary when the angel came? What city? Nazareth. So when you look at your map of Israel, ancient Israel, even today, you look where Nazareth is, and the Judean hills is around 60 to 70 miles away. So Mary goes to visit her kinfolk. Could be an aunt. It's a relative. Not a cousin. Not a cousin, but a relative. So Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. In other words, in a hurry. To a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb. And notice, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Up to this point, she's 6 months pregnant. She's hiding. We are told that earlier. Why is she hiding? Because she's over 66, 67, 80, 70 years old. She's an elderly person. And she's hiding. And she's just having the baby. And she realized this baby. There's a commission upon this child. We saw 14 things that the angel announced to Zechariah about this baby. Number one, he told him, do not be afraid. Number two, your prayer is heard. Number three, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Number four, you shall call his name John. Five, you will have joy and gladness at his birth. Six, many will rejoice at his birth. Seven, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Eight, he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Nine, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ten, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. 11, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And I don't know the number, but he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He will also turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And lastly, he will make ready a people prepare for the Lord. So she knew that in her womb was a special child. It wasn't until she was at home and she heard a voice. Hi. Hello. And immediately Elizabeth, she felt the baby jumping. Now, I don't know if you've been a father and you experience your wife for the first time. She's pregnant 2 months, 3 months. 4 months. And there comes a very significant time in her gestation period, which is 9 months. There comes a time when she said, I felt something. What did you feel? A flutter. A flutter. And then from a flutter, it turns into, he's going to be a soccer player. He kicked me. And they feel him. See, that's something men will never understand. We don't get it. We don't know. But a mother, you understand, the baby leaped. Not just move, leap. And all of a sudden, there was a supernatural effect upon Elizabeth. Now, having been baptized of the Holy Spirit, it is no longer Elizabeth in the natural realm. Now it's Elizabeth, now anointed of God. You see, the Bible tells us that when you and I receive the Holy, the Jesus Christ, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit, we can't see him. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God falls upon us. It is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, for they don't understand him. He says, but you understand him now. Why? Because he's in you, and he's with you, and later on, he's going to be upon you, over you, to govern you, to lead you. And that is the movement. And so Elizabeth is no longer Elizabeth. So now Elizabeth is going to give Mary a pronouncement. Notice what she says to her in the Holy Spirit now. Verse 42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she already connected the dots. How did she know? Who told her that her 15, 60-year-old cousin was pregnant? She didn't know. All of a sudden, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, she begins to connect the dots. Even though Jesus was in the womb of Mary, the power and the presence of God was already affecting the situation. And Elizabeth recognized it immediately, the sensitivity immediately. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's an urgent sense of sensitivity. Sensitivity to the things, how you hurt people and how you don't want to hurt them no more. How you lie and you don't want to lie anymore. How you suppress the truth and you don't want to suppress the truth anymore. How you cheat and you lie and you gave your body to people. Now, as a woman, you said, no more. I'm a woman of God now. And you're born again. You're changed. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon you to give you visual, to give you purpose, to give you an understanding. And it's an understanding you cannot receive at a high school. You cannot receive it at Montessori school. You cannot receive it in a social program. It has to come by the office and the operation and the work of the Holy Spirit upon you. And she connected the dots. She connected the dots right here. But why am I so blessed to have the mother of my Lord in here? Now, there are two kinds of blessed here, so you understand it. One of it, blessed, is called Makarios, like the name Makario. Blessed means you're different. You're special. This one here basically means, I think it's called casa logos, where the word logos means word. So it means your word, you are blessed because you have honor. That's all it means. Not that you're special and you're above anybody else. It just means that God recognized you and you're blessed. So it says, blessed are you. And then 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what? Joy. And here's the pronouncement that she gives to Mary. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she confirmed it. To Mary, must have been a little shock again, because Mary could have said, how did you know? I traveled 70 miles. How did the word get to you? And now you know that I'm pregnant. Now you know that I'm having a baby. And you're calling him Lord. And you're telling me now the Holy Spirit came upon you. And you're telling me your baby leaped for joy. And now you're telling me why are you privileged that I come to visit you. I'm younger than you. And yes, she recognized you're the mother of my Lord. And then we leave that scene. It is believed that now Mary, in response to the blessings of Elizabeth, she breaks forth in a hymn. And in this hymn is called, again, the Magnificat. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, there's a woman by the name of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. When you look at the story of Hannah, Hannah had a husband, and her husband was called Elkanah. And she couldn't have children. So he left her because it was shameful. You have to have children. So then he got another wife. And her name was called Periana, but I call her Purana. That's the only way I remember the name. And she was popping babies left and right. and Hannah could not have a child. And the Bible says that Hannah went to the house of the Lord. Very emotional situation, because I've been there. I've been there. If you haven't been there, you will. Life, you will. You may say, I don't know what that is. I know. But life. You're going to come to a point in your life where you go, what is going on? Why? How? It hurts. And Hannah said, it hurts. She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. She was anorexic. She was depressed. And her husband says, they give her extra food. And he didn't even think what's going on. I'm giving you more food than my wife. Why don't you love me? And she could have said, fool is not food. My heart is broken. You have this expression there in Hannah called bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. She was bitter. She was broken. And the Bible says she went to the house of the Lord. And the Bible says she poured her heart out. And Eli, the priest, thought that she was loaded in the house of the Lord. She goes, woman, put that wine away. And he says, Lord, I am not loaded. I am not drunk. I'm pouring my heart before. And Eli said, oh, well, go for it. Go for it. And the Bible said, after she left the house of the Lord, bada bing, bada boom, she got pregnant. But she made a promise to God that if you give me a son, she goes, I'll give him back to you. I'll loan him back to you for the work of your kingdom. And so she had a little boy by the name of Samuel the prophet, big master blaster from the Old Testament. And she gave him. And so Hannah also there in 1 Samuel, she breaks forth in a hymn. That hymn is identical to Mary's hymn. It is a hymn of blessing individual. But in that individual blessing, like Hannah, I'm individually blessed. But I know that this child is going to bless the nation of Israel. In the same way with Mary. In this song, she begins to sing. She echoes the song of Hannah. She too says, I'm a blessed woman. I'm having a child. I am blessed. But I'm not only going to be blessed by having this child. He says the nation is going to benefit also. So here she says this, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice, my soul and my spirit. Both entities are immaterial. What does that mean, immaterial? If you tell me that you have a brain problem, I will know exactly where your brain is at, right inside the skull bone housing here. If you tell me something's wrong with your kidneys, I will know where your kidneys are at. If you tell me something wrong with your, you know what I'm saying. But if you were to tell me something's wrong with my soul, I wouldn't know where your soul is at. But you do have a soul. You said, my conscience is bothering me. Where is your conscience? You have a conscience, but where is it? That's what we call an immaterial matter. We know it's there, but it's not material. You cannot touch it, but it's there. So Mary's not speaking about the physical entities. She says, those things that you cannot see, those things that I feel, my soul and my spirit, they magnify the Lord. You see, there are people who magnify in their spirit, in their soul, the most innermore desires. They magnify position and rank and money. They position posture, they position prestige. They follow those dictates only to their own demise. She said, I will magnify the Lord in my spirit, in my soul.
Spontaneous Hymns of Joy, that's the title of the message that Pastor Pancho has given, the message as we've been looking at Luke chapter 1 on today's program of On the Level.
There's a number of ways to connect with us and stay up to date with news and information. The first way is by going to our official website, thearcmontebello.com. That's thearcmontebello.com. If you're on the go, you can also get our mobile app, the Ark app, on our official website. The download for the ARC app is available at iTunes App Store, Google Play, and the Amazon App Store. Take OTL with you on the go. You can also follow us on our social media venues like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using the keyword of those platforms at the ARC Montebello. Again, that keyword is at the ARC Montebello. And once again, to contact us and learn more about us, simply go to our official website at thearcmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Poncho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be all right. 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 It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Today's program of On the Level is brought to you by the Arc Montebello in California.